This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Federal officials just announcing that coronavirus cases confirmed in the United States have now exceeded 1,000. There are cases in 37 states, and there have been 31 deaths in the United States from the virus. Meanwhile, President Trump came out of a meeting with top Senate Republicans yesterday saying they're working on some economic relief for businesses and workers impacted by the outbreak.
We just had a meeting with stimulus, and you'll be hearing about it soon, but it was a great meeting.
Joe Biden, the big winner in yesterday's primaries.
This campaign is taking off, and I believe we're going to do well from this point on.
Now in a two-candidate race with Bernie Sanders, Biden is the projected winner in yesterday's primaries in Missouri, Mississippi, Idaho, and delegate-rich Michigan. And this is USA Radio News.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
Does the sound of guaranteed income have you thinking about buying an annuity? Find out why Fisher Investments considers annuities about as attractive as a migraine, with their nosebleed-level fees, no easy way out once you're in them, and other pitfalls. If you have $500,000 or more, call Fisher at 1-800-859-5500 for your free guide, Annuity Insights. 1-800-859-5500. It's your retirement. Know what to ask.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The NCAA is saying it will be deciding in the coming days how the coronavirus outbreak will affect the upcoming men's and women's basketball tournaments. The NCAA issuing a statement saying it continues to assess how coronavirus is impacting the conduct of their tourneys and associated events. The Ivy League has already canceled its tournaments, while the Mid-American Conference will play games in Cleveland with no access to the general public. The Big West is also playing its men's and women's tourneys in Long Beach and Anaheim without fans. President Trump has presented the Medal of Freedom to a retired Army four-star general.
Today is my great privilege to present our nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, to a courageous warrior and a fearless patriot, General Jack Keane.
The retired General Keane currently serves as a senior strategic analyst for the Fox News Channel. And this is USA Radio News.
Friends and family, did you have a great night's sleep last night? I did. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I work better than I ever have. And you know what? You can have that health. You can have that good night's sleep if you order a MyPillow. Try it. Mike Lindell guarantees it. He's got a 60-day money-back guarantee on the MyPillow and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special. Use my promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175.
Another huge annual event may be on its way towards cancellation because of the coronavirus concerns. The annual Electronic Entertainment Expo, better known as E3, is, according to several reports, going to cancel the three-day event in Los Angeles scheduled for June. Entertainment Software Association is the organization behind E3. It has not made any official announcement yet. First Lady Melania Trump again urging Americans to fight cyberbullying. Mrs. Trump spoke at the PTA legislative conference yesterday, and she discussed the extremes of the Internet.
When used properly, the Internet can be a tool for good. When not used properly, it can be destructive and dangerous.
Mrs. Trump saying it's the duty of people, including parents in particular, to make sure that children are being taught the importance of positive ways to interact with each other. Apple is said to be testing the ability to rescind text messages that you send and then think better of it later. It would let iPhone users retract messages, though the recipient would be notified that the retraction occurred. And McDonald's is at it again. If the Big Mac just isn't big enough, just double it. The fast food giant adding two more patties to make its iconic burger even bigger. You can find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com for USA Radio News. I'm Chris Barnes.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Fresh and independent. This is Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us as we come to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Michael Rubin joins us now, the resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official. Hey, Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. I'm like you. I'm keeping an eye. I'm being socially responsible regarding this coronavirus. I mean, there's some individual responsibility, some social distancing that we can keep in mind. We had the pastor of our church saying, look at, much like Jewish people, you know, when you wash your hands, you've got the Jewish prayer, right? When you're washing your hands, he said that we should pray the Lord's Prayer when we wash our hands. So just some basic, hygiene that we need to be sensitive about. Not to mention the fact if you're stuck at home, there's some great, you offered some great books for people to read, right?
Yep, and I got to say, I'm using this period. I haven't been infected or anything like that, but it's actually a pleasure staying at home and more time with the kids. And also, I get a lot more writing done during the day.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, people are making the most of it. And again, we're trusting the officials to do the right thing. I believe the president has acted, all things considered, except for, you know, an admitted little glitch that happened with the CDC that may have caused some delay. But by and large, I thought he's done a good job, and the team being led by Vice President Michael Pence, who brings some sobriety and calmness to the whole issue, not to mention Fauci and the other experts there. I think they're doing as good a job as they can do, considering that so much of this virus has happened outside of our control.
Well, you know, if you want to strip away all the polemics and all the partisanship, it's actually interesting that Governor Newsom in California, when asked, said that he had a long conversation with Vice President Pence and that every single item he had requested from Pence had been followed up on productively. This isn't in an election year, to have a governor of California basically say the federal government is doing the right thing should be a lesson to all those that want to make political hay out of what's going on.
Exactly. And, of course, we're not going to hear that, because you've got, as you say, a blue state governor making that statement. The other thing, I had a conversation with Senator Scott over the weekend, and I'm glad to see the president starting to move a little bit. Speaking of Governor Newsom, he was quick to declare a state of emergency over the coronavirus. And I said, you know, the reason he did that was to access, as you know, federal funds right away. Well, what about the employees who are not being compensated? You know, there's some businesses that have the wherewithal and they're still paying their employees while they're at home. But what about the employees that are not getting that benefit. You know, they're having to wait 6 to 8 weeks to file for unemployment. I mean, you know, you're going to tell your kids, oh, I'm sorry, you can't eat for the next 6 to 8 weeks, you know. You're going to tell your landlord you need to wait 6 or 8 weeks for some money. I mean, this is money that they paid into, Michael, and I encourage the senator to go back with a vengeance and put some pressure on the government to say, look at it, and the president say, we need to do something about these kids that, you know, suddenly are furloughed at home without pay.
Well, you know, Bill, what's actually kind of heartening is even though it's imperative that the government does the right thing, what's really heartening is how many people have done the right thing even though they haven't legislatively been required to. They've been doing it because we're Americans, we're good citizens, and so forth. Mm-hmm. We see this, for example, with the airlines and the hotels refunding travel. We see this now with Olive Garden, or the casual dining chain extending health care now to all of its hourly workers. When push comes to shove, it is heartening to remember that Americans will do the right thing. They do what's right and wrong. I mean, they know the difference between right and wrong, and we're not like one of these other countries that rely solely on government, and that over-reliance on government becomes an excuse to sort of absolve individuals of morality. That's why I'm proud to be an American.
Exactly. Amen to that. And people are being responsible as we opened up in terms of taking responsibility for their own personal, you know, hygiene and, you know, being mindful of what they call social distancing. I mean, Michael, I mean, I think the last time I heard about anything close to social distancing was when I was in high school, and the sponsors used to get nervous when the kids were slow dancing a little bit too close.
Indeed. I mean, certainly. And also, look, we can look back on that. We can look at what people are doing now. On the other hand, we can compare this with what has happened in other countries like China, like Iran, and so forth. We can see the difference between democracies and dictatorships just in the difference between reacting to a problem like this with opacity or responding to it with transparency.
Mm-hmm. Michael, being Americans too, you know, I've often said that we are part of the microwave generation. Things just do not move fast enough. We stand in front, in fact, in front of a microwave and yell, hurry up. But, you know, I think that when you pause for a moment and consider what this government is doing with the coronavirus, how it's come out of nowhere, and here we are. I mean, we're trying to bide some time here, bide some time that the warm weather comes in. That will help mitigate some of the problem. The CDC, the pharmaceuticals have come together. The president has brought the CEOs of these pharmaceuticals, even the testing facilities. You know, the two major testing facilities said, hey, we're in. We're on the team. We're on Team America. And to your point here, this is what makes you proud to be an American, is when we're all working together and united coming against this. And I would say to those who are antithetical to the team cause, you're being exposed. And we're realizing that you are abandoning the team in a time of crisis when we need you on the field of play, being a part of the solution and not adding to the problem.
Amen to that. And all the while, it's important. I mean, it really is astounding. I'm 48 years old, and just during my lifetime, let alone that of my grandparents, let alone that which will be experienced by my kids, to see the incredible advances in biomedical engineering, in medicine, and so forth. The Israelis believe that it's just a matter of weeks before they are able to develop a vaccine. We have rapid testing. The Germans have just started with drive-through testing and so forth. Mm-hmm. It really is incredible to see that a virus like this, that, again, as you said, seems to have come out of nowhere, has spread rapidly, can, in all likelihood, people are talking about. I mean, we're in for some hurdles over the next couple of weeks, but then there's light at the end of the tunnel, and that's because of the tremendous investment in ingenuity of mankind in medicine and science.
Well, I've often said that experience defines preference, and one of those preferences that we are realizing is that we cannot outsource, you know, these critical biological elements to China, and especially when they come back and say, basically, we're going to hold it against you, and we don't care if your people die, because we're going to choke you off, because we have control of, you know, all the biologics and biologics that America gave to them.
Well, either America gave to them or they stole when they were hacking intellectual property rights and so forth. But you're absolutely right on that, Bill. And the fact of the matter is the United States needs to recognize that we can't put our security, whether it's defense security, whether it's biomedical security, whether it's food security, in the hands of a dictatorial communist regime, which ultimately means us harm. And this is common sense, and it should be a welcome reminder. Let's hope that the American long-term memory lasts more than 10 months on this one, because unfortunately we have a collective case of national amnesia often.
More from Michael Rubin after this. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
February is Heart Health Month. Give your heart the attention it deserves with Quantum Nutrition Lab's three featured supplements formulated to support healthy blood pressure, healthy blood sugar, and circulation. Each are buy two, get the third one free. And be sure to get your free copy of the Biofield Diet. Now is the time to commit to making your heart health a priority year-round. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's qnlabs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of the Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
Oh,
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
Fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. I'm Bill Martinez, the resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, and former Pentagon official Michael Rubin is with us. Michael, your last statement about American amnesia over this current experience and what we're realizing under this current administration is that there is justification and support for America First, and we're reminded why America needs to be first. We have been too kind to other nations. I mean, it's one thing to be kind, but it's another thing to be taken advantage of. To have your property, taken away from you, your ideas, forced acquisition of your assets in order to deal with China. I mean, we know on the face it's not fair, and we had to have somebody, a leader in the Oval Office, to finally have the enough courage to confront this, to say you cannot continue to have and rip us off of our intellectual property like you've been doing.
Well, you're absolutely right. And so much, I mean, whether it's on this front of biomedical research and science, whether it's on the issue of defense and so forth, so much of American policy in recent decades has been dominated or been calibrated to wishful thinking. People will pride themselves on being realists and then ignore the reality of our adversaries, the competition in which we're in, and so forth. And we have to basically, as Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. We shouldn't put good faith in adversaries. And unfortunately, this is a problem which permeates throughout the U.S. bureaucracy.
And look what's happened. In a short period of time, I mean, all things considered, Michael, how we've become energy independent. What that has done, I mean, that is an excellent example of what we should be doing in these other major sectors to break away. I mean, I'm sure the politicians at the time went in with good intention to think, okay, look, if we support these other nations and we're good guys, we're going to bless them, they're going to bless us. But it's taken us years to realize that it's been a one-way blessing.
Well, you're absolutely right there, but if I can just go back for a second to energy independence, it's also important to recognize that when we talk about coal, when we talk about oil, and when we talk about gas, we're not talking about the coal, the oil, and the gas technology from the 1970s. We're talking about something which would be unrecognizable in the 1970s in terms of the cleanliness of use and the efficiency of use. And so it's important to continue to develop technologies, not only in whatever the politically privileged field or the politically popular field of the day is, but to not basically, if you will, consolidate our options into simply one. Through diversity, we actually grow stronger.
Without a doubt. And, Michael, I'm glad you brought that up, because even comparing, when you and I were growing up, the energy sector and how it's been cleaned up. And, some people want to be really quick to be, critical of the so-called, quote-unquote, environmentalists. I say, they were part of the solution. They agitated and they kept asking the question. They kept putting the pressure on the energy sector so that they are producing what they are today, and they see, as you say, even a cleaner tomorrow with the existing resources that we have. So I say, you're welcome to participate. I don't think you should be marginalized and invalidated, which is what the left loves to do. They love to invalidate and cancel you out of the conversation. But I say we do that at great harm to the collective good.
Well, Bill, I'll reaffirm that. Look, as you know, my first degree was in environmental biology, and so I'm not just saying this out of left field, but one of the key tenets of science is that you don't base anything on models which end up not having predictive value, and that's what we've seen repeatedly when it comes to some of the more dire environmental predictions. That said, when we look at something like the Paris Climate Change Accords and so forth, you know, critics of conservatives, critics of proponents of American sovereignty, critics of President Trump can complain about how the United States withdrew from that agreement. But what's also important to note is even while not being a part of that agreement, we're actually cutting back some of our emissions. We're cutting back our emissions more than was actually required by that agreement, whereas other countries are not. And that ultimately is what's more important than any signature on a piece of paper.
And why does that get lost in translation? Is it because it's all about politics, Michael?
I do think it's all about politics, and I also do think it's about both the increasing polemics in Washington as well as the fundamental illiteracy of some in the media when it comes to policy, when it comes to numbers. We saw this recently on that clip that went viral in which a New York Times editorialist was on MSNBC talking to, I believe, Brian Williams, mm-hmm. suggesting that if Mayor Mike Bloomberg could have given $1 million to every American, given what he had spent on advertising in a short-lived campaign, when in reality they were off by a factor of six.
Yeah. It's those zeros can be so silly sometimes,
but,
Michael.
But what's silly, Bill, is that on its face, neither MSNBC or the New York Times editorialists, the elites of the elite, were willing to say, you know, these numbers just don't smell right.
Exactly. And, oh, yeah, even after the fact when they didn't, they just kind of like shrugged and moved on, you know. So, but this is what hurts their cause. And going back to what you said earlier about some of the radical AOC-type environmentalists and, you know, climate changers, is that it hurts their cause when they're so on the lunatic fringe that they, in a sense, marginalize themselves. And that's unfortunate because it hurts the cause overall, because what people hear is what they're saying and not what America is doing, case in point, with the Paris Accord, as you just mentioned.
To recognize, Bill, that people become much more cognizant of the environment and willing to preserve the environment when they are more affluent, when they feel that their basic needs are addressed, which is why it is so important not to sacrifice the economy for the sake of environmentalism.
Exactly.
And this is something which in India and in China and so forth often gets lost because people will basically continue to pollute simply because they're so desperate to survive.
Exactly. We've got about 2.5 minutes left, Michael. I did want to give you a chance to respond to what is happening right now in Afghanistan.
Well, I mean, in Afghanistan, it's deja vu all over again. The Taliban have signed an agreement which was much like the agreement that they had come to with the Clinton administration back in 1997 and 1998. The problem with the agreement is that it doesn't, A, deal with the Taliban's interrelation with al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
B, it doesn't address the fact that the Taliban haven't recognized the legitimacy of the Afghan government. They supposedly promised to stop fighting us, but they haven't agreed to stop fighting Afghanistan. Now, people can say, you know, it's America's longest war. We don't like endless wars. We need to get out. But I would argue that how you get out matters. I would also argue that when people say Afghanistan was a failure, perhaps the nation building was, but the fact that we haven't been hit again like mm-hmm. we were on 9/11 isn't an accident, and that we need to recognize that when we do provide terrorists with safe havens, ultimately there's a consequence to that.
Without a doubt. And, of course, this leaves open the option, as you say, for the Taliban to say that it wasn't us, it was al-Qaeda that made us do it.
Well, absolutely. And then there's the third possibility that the Islamic State, which has taken root there. In fact, what we've seen after the signing of this accord, and it's disturbing, by the way, that American intelligence, according to, I believe, NBC, has said intelligence showed that the Taliban had no intention of upholding this accord. But what's disturbing is that you had the same number of attacks, you just didn't have the Taliban claims of responsibility. Is that what this accord was supposed to achieve? I don't think so.
Well, I'll tell you, if I was an Afghan official, my knees would be shaken, Michael.
You're absolutely right, Bill, but you know, I'm sure some of your listeners are saying, that's all well and good, but we just don't want to be there. We don't want to invest that money. I had written an article for the National Interest several months ago, which basically looked at all the levers of nonviolent power we had over Pakistan to raise the cost of their support of the Taliban. that we haven't implemented. For example, some of the international sanctions, the Financial Action Task Force, and so forth. And all those remain at our disposal. Look, the Taliban wouldn't be in power, wouldn't have become so empowered had it not been for Pakistani support, and that's the problem set we have to address.
Well, we got to leave it there. As always, Michael Rubin, appreciate the insight as always. Take care. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
Maybe you could relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. But great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So, yes, they could help share your needs, too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40. 855-SHARE-40.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Federal officials just announcing that coronavirus cases confirmed in the United States have now exceeded 1,000. There are cases in 37 states, and there have been 31 deaths in the United States from the virus. Meanwhile, President Trump came out of a meeting with top Senate Republicans yesterday, saying they're working on some economic relief for businesses and workers impacted by the outbreak.
We just had a meeting on stimulus, and you'll be hearing about it soon, but it was a great meeting.
Joe Biden, the big winner in yesterday's primaries.
This campaign is taking off, and I believe we're going to do well from this point on.
Now in a two-candidate race with Bernie Sanders, Biden is the projected winner in yesterday's primaries in Missouri, Mississippi, Idaho, and delegate-rich Michigan. And this is USA Radio News.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
Election, trade war, what in the world is the world coming to, and how will it affect your retirement? Fisher Investments has helped thousands of investors navigate all kinds of news and market conditions. Is your portfolio prepared? If you have $500,000 or more, call for Fisher's insightful free guide, The Stock Market Outlook, and learn how the market might impact your retirement this year. Call 1-800-379-4442. 1-800-379-4442.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with the American Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day as we come to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Curtis Hoff joins us now, managing editor of Newsbusters. Curtis, how are we doing?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, all kinds of fun here. The mainstream media, boy, working their base, can't help themselves, politicizing coronavirus, slamming the Trump administration because their group of constituents just want to hear that the orange man is bad and everything he thinks about regarding America is to put it in more peril because they're not in control and they would do it so much differently and so much better. That's what they want us to believe, right?
Right. There's a number of layers to this. First, you're seeing, as usual, a lot of the former Obama officials that populate CNN and MSNBC's payrolls on to predictably bash the administration. But this time it's a little bit different. Not only do they, are they bitter because of President Trump winning 4 years ago? A lot of them, in many cases, have, reason to bash the president and muddy the waters on the response and cause people to panic. Because for many of them, they've already endorsed Joe Biden for president or support his campaign or work for his campaign. So it's in their best interest to create this narrative so that people then want to vote for Joe Biden, and then they can be back in, you know, power and government, and then they can look like saviors.
Right, exactly. Well, let me ask you this, Curtis, on a philosophical point here. You know, we talk about having freedom of speech, but it comes with some responsibility and regard. And one of the general cases is that you have freedom of speech, but you can't yell fire in a theater where no fire exists, right?
Correct, exactly.
So what is the difference between that example and this example?
No, I mean, that's a really good point. I think the issue then, too, is we think back to, you know, and that's the other issue. It reminded me, Bill, is the fact that during the Ebola case, they're bringing on all these people like Ron Klain, who is on the Biden campaign formally, because he was the Ebola czar. Folks, Ebola is an entirely different matter. I could touch the couch that I'm sitting on right now, and then someone else could touch it, and they're not. If I had Ebola, they wouldn't get Ebola. Ebola is about contact to contact, whereas coronavirus is like the flu. It's much different.
Right.
You know, moisture particles, basically almost airborne, so to speak.
Exactly.
Diseases and the germs of that get into you. Mm-hmm. So compare it to these people in the Obama administration that served the Ebola response. I don't know if they're exactly, you know, perfectly seasoned vets to be talking about the coronavirus, because I think this illness is entirely different from that. But also, you're exactly right, that the fear is absolutely there that they're trying to cause. And in when you're talking about the president, even you think back to George W. Bush during 9/11, you know, or really any president in U.S. history during times of crisis, real crisis.
Mm-hmm.
It's about projecting a level of calm.
Exactly.
That's why people are like Winston Churchill are such revered, not just in the UK, but around the world, because of his leadership of that of the country during World War II. As they're being bombed, you know, projecting a sense of calm and strength. Whereas, they want the president to basically be out there like Chicken Little, saying the sky is falling,
mm-hmm.
when that's really not what should be happening here. The president should be projecting calm and letting other officials be the ones who kind of lay out the worst case scenarios.
Yeah, even if the president was doing that for a moment, they might like that, but then they'd be critical of that as well.
Correct.
Because that's what they do criticism well. I mean, they're black belts, 10-degree black belts in criticism, the way I put it. You wrote about last week, and this is something to note here. White House MSNBC host Nicole Wallace and the Princeton professor Eddie Glaude were practically, and I mean, this was disgusting, really rooting for more Americans to die from the virus so it could be President Trump's Katrina.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible that they you know, they brought that up, and then Nicole Wallace was saying, oh, let's game this out. Let's, you know, tease this out here. Mm-hmm. Really wanting to squeeze every last little bit out of this, you know, comparison that they could. Of course, she was working for the George W. Bush White House. You know, furthering, as I saw one political strategist tweet, the reputation that she already has, I guess, behind closed doors, which is she's never had any sense of loyalty in her career whatsoever, that she turns on her bosses and a dime. So what she can do to advance her own personal fame and career and eyes, you know, or perception in the eyes
right.
of the liberal media, of which now she's a part of.
Right.
So, yes, I think I absolutely, again, it's purely a response. And what's interesting about this is they're talking about the obvious decline in the stock market because investors are fearing what's going on here. You know, major, you know, corporations like cruise lines and airlines are just hemorrhaging stocks, right? Their value right now. But yet a couple of weeks ago when we were hitting one record high after the next, the concern was, oh, he's not getting enough giving enough credit to Barack Obama.
Exactly. It's Barack,
still the
Barack
Obama economy, but now exactly. It's the Trump economy.
Well, it's interesting because on one hand, they talk about the Trump economy only benefiting the top 1%, but it's the Obama economy suddenly because they have nothing to show but just the opposite. But they're going to try and do what they do best, and that is steal somebody else's glory and proven track record. You know, also, this is something that was disgusting, too, which has been typical of Democrats. I guess it's bad enough that all the adults are in the basket of deplorables, but even our kids now are in that basket. Joy Reid twice depicted the children of Trump supporters as a coronavirus threat to your kids, stating, God love them, are gullible, credulous rubes who blindly believe anything the president says.
Yeah, I mean, Joy Reid, I mean, unfortunately, you know, this would be my pick, prediction, not my preferred pick, obviously, but prediction as to who will get Chris Matthews' slot on MSNBC at 7 p.m. That's what I'm thinking.
You think Joy Reid? Yeah, wow.
Because, you know, they've talked about how they don't have a person of color in prime time, and, you know, they only have Rachel Maddow as the only woman. So, otherwise, you know, white men, beta males like Chris Hayes out there. But, unfortunately, yeah, this is the kind of rhetoric that you see from her. And really, I wonder sometimes whether I should say that or use this word, but then I hear things like that, and I can't come, you know, the only thing I can think of is it's venom. It's venomous.
Yes,
it's just
exactly.
Real ugly rhetoric. It's just the most heinous sort of descriptors that you could think of to describe a group of people, comparing them to the coronavirus, you know. Might as well talk about them as being like the equivalent of, you know, HIV or AIDS. It's really sick, as the president likes to say. These people are sick.
Yeah. Well, they really are. And you think
it's disgusting, deplorable hate, I think, for your fellow man.
Curtis, for everything that we have known and grown up with in the world of athletics and team, that sort of thing, we know that united we stand, divided we fall. We've heard that even espoused in the political arena. Politically, we do not practice it very well, and particularly in the last several decades here. But it doesn't lose any impact in terms of its significance, that when we're unified, we're better. And at every turn, it seems here, since 9/11, the Democrats have done everything they can to divide us. They've hashtagged us. They've hyphenated us. They've put us in separate silos so that we could be at each other's throats and look at one another comparatively, as opposed to what Martin Luther King suggested, that we should look at the content of their character, not the color of their skin.
Yeah, that's pretty much where we're at right now, where the news media see it as not only worthwhile and truthful, but also profitable.
Sadly.
By the American
You're
people.
Exactly right.
You know, CNN's entire existence under Jeff Zucker is to breed division and breed hysteria.
And spew the venom,
and
as you say.
Put our hands up and say, oh, it's not us. No, exactly. We're not doing this. You're the ones who are doing this.
Curtis Auk, managing editor of Newsbusters, here with us. Curtis, thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Anytime, Bill.
This is sponsored by Accenture. The 20th Annual Technology Vision Report from Accenture shows that although people are embedding technology into their lives more than ever before, organizations' attempts to meet their needs and expectations can fall short. Michael Biltz, managing director of the Accenture Technology Vision.
In a world where digital technology is everywhere, there's a tech clash between businesses and the technology models that aren't aligned with people's needs and expectations. To move forward, a new approach is required. Organizations need to focus on balancing their drive to create business value with their customers' and employees' values.
The report is based in part on a survey of more than 8,000 business executives and consumers. It identifies the key tech trends that will impact businesses over the next 3 years and counsels companies on how best to address the opportunities and challenges ahead. For more, please visit Accenture.com/technologyvision. That's Accenture.com/technologyvision.
From CBN Films comes I Am Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland. Taken from his home into slavery, then a miraculous escape, only to be called back.
It was not my grace, but God, that I might come to the Irish nations to preach the gospel.
Witness the journey from man to saint. I Am Patrick. In select theaters for 2 days only, March 17th and 18th. For theaters and tickets, go to iampatrick.com.
Dan Perkins here with your songs and stories for soldiers, veterans, tip of the day. Did you get a flu shot last year? If you answered no, you don't have an excuse this year. The VA and Walgreens have teamed up to make flu shots free for veterans. Here's your veterans tip of the day. Protect yourself by getting a flu shot at Walgreens for free. Protect yourself. Get a flu shot. Last year, 80,000 Americans died from flu. The life you save just might be your own. This is Dan Perkins with your songs and stories for soldiers, veterans, tip of the day.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise at GCNlive.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live. Turn it up.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. With us right now is Jeremy Camp. Yes. How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing amazing, buddy. How you doing?
Well, hey, I'm doing wonderful. I mean, hey, look at, we're getting closer to the day we've all been waiting for. You know, I still believe in theaters everywhere starting March the 13th, huh?
Yeah, this is kind of a, it's, I think me and my wife are kind of gearing up for the unknown here.
You know, yeah, I bet.
But yeah. In my family, we're just really excited about, I don't know, just we've been praying and my wife, you know, has been saying, God, if this is not about your kingdom, then there's no point in this. And so we're just in that place of going, we want the Lord to be glorified in all of this, and we want people's lives to be changed. And so it's exciting to see what's going to happen.
Well, you know, the true story of your life, it started with you and Melissa. And, of course, God has written a second chapter for your life. But what we're going to see on the big screen come March the 13th is, well, like you say, it's a story of redemption and faith that only someone who has gone through the experience that you have gone through, you know, can appreciate.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a very raw, you know, part of my life. And I think it's, people are, you know, many times saying, how excited are you? And I'm like, of course, I'm very, very excited and kind of blown away at what God's doing through this. Mm-hmm. But it also brings up the hardest part of my life, the biggest part of my life. And it's been a you know, there's been some challenges and been some battles. And you know, every time I watch the film, which came out incredible, I break down. It's not an easy part of my life. But the scripture I love in 2 Corinthians that said that we're called to comfort others with what we've been comforted. And I take that scripture. I'm like, God, this is it's worth it to go through kind of all this again. And I know the stories that I'm going to hear, and I'm going to feel the weight of those stories. And it's okay, though, because God has, you know, comforted me in so many ways. And if I can, in some way, be an encouragement to others, then that's what I want to do.
You know, Jeremy, I kind of look at it as a big screen journal, you know, we're peeking into the journal of your life, right? And for people who do journal what God has shared with them during their walks of life, they go back and they read it, and it can be extremely powerful. It reminds us of the time that we thought we were empty and missing God's love, and then we look back and say, no, he was there all the time.
Yeah, there's... In the Old Testament, I love, they talk about Ebenezers, which are stones of remembrance. And I think for me, I can look back and go, wow, Lord, look what you did when I felt like I couldn't get through this. Look what you did. And it's just a stone of remembrance constantly. And this is kind of, the whole movie is literally kind of a stone of remembrance of going, wow, this is reminding me of how God was faithful in my darkest time.
Well, it's only fitting that the Irwin brothers, who gave us I Can Only Imagine, produced this movie, I Still Believe. And I understand Bart Millard from Mercy Me was executive producer. In fact, he said in one interview, he goes, hey, I was kind of surprised to find out. I didn't even realize I was producing this.
Yeah, I think they appreciated just his, you know, understanding of walking through what he walked through. And I think that kind of wisdom experience, they're like, you know, I want to make you executive producer.
Yeah, right, exactly. He says, I think my job is just to, you know, drag with me, like he has to drag you, but to bring Jeremy Camp along and, you know, keep promoting the movie. But you couldn't ask for a better spokesperson.
Oh, yeah, I love him. So I'm really glad about that.
Good guy. So, you know, as you were watching the team bring this together, the Irwin brothers and Kevin Downs, Kevin, who we spoke with about a month ago, and Kevin was just so excited. I mean, you guys are just, I got to imagine, on the edge of your seats just to, you know, you've gotten some early response, you know, with some of the screeners that you've put out there, and people cannot wait to see the impact that this is going to have on the body of Christ, not only the body of Christ, the existing body of Christ, but new believers coming in.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things for me that I'm really excited about. Of course, I want to encourage the body, because that's what I've always done as well. But I also have had a heart for the lost. I'm an evangelist. You know, I've gone over to many countries and preached the gospel, and that's just kind of what I do. And it's my heart. And so to know that this is going to reach, because, you know, movies reach a whole different group of people. It's a whole different experience, and it'll bring in people that may not come to a Christian concert, or may not come to a church, that may not come to a conference. They may come see a movie, and they're going to get the gospel. And what I love is this movie, you know, is when you're watching the trailer, you're kind of watching the idea of the movie, it's looks like a love story, which it is, because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, love between a man and a woman, but these people are going to walk out of there feeling the love of God throughout the whole thing, and they're going to know that that's why they're there, and that's the whole heart behind it.
Yeah, how do you get through something like this without God, Jeremy? You know,
I don't know where I would. I mean, honestly, like I had a moment in my life when everything happened where you have like two choices: either turn your back from God and say, you know what, forget you, I can't believe you allowed this to happen, and be angry and run away from God, and then what you do is you end up running towards the world. And the world is the cause of the problem in the first place, from just the fall and all this kind of stuff. It's doesn't have any peace and have any hope, has no sense of joy. It's faithless. That's the world. Right. And then you go, you know what? The only place I can turn is to Jesus, because he really is the only source of hope and life and joy and peace. And I think everyone's going to experience trials and tribulations. Everybody, no matter if you know the Lord or you don't know the Lord. And I'd rather walk through it with the one who gives me the answer and gives me hope and gives me peace, because he's the only one who can.
Exactly. And for you, having gone through it, I mean, this is your testimony. It's like the blind man who now sees something that no one can take away from you. People might say, well, Jeremy, you know, so who is your God?
Right. You're exactly right. Yeah.
You know, it's like, Well, let me tell you who my God is. And God forbid, in a way, I mean, we say God forbid because that's so trite to say, but and it is in so many ways. But the blessing of having gone through the valley of the shadow of death and realizing that God was alongside with you every step of the way when your eyes are opened up, in much the same way, I think of, you know, Abraham when he went to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son. You know, what kind of grief was he walking with at that moment in time to think, wait a minute, here's the son that I always wanted. God blesses me with him. And then he says, hey, look, at, I want you to go and take him up and sacrifice him. And he doesn't see the ram in the thicket until he's saved by the angel, right?
Right, exactly. So he went by just kind of stepping into it, going, God, I'm going to be obedient no matter what. And there was no, you know, in a sense, side sacrifice. He didn't see it. So he was ready to go. And God said, okay, you're obedient. I've provided a sacrifice, which, of course, that sacrifice is, as we see, kind of foreshadowing to Christ, you know, and that's what he's provided for us and the suffering that Christ went through. And for me, when I look about what I've been through and kind of, in a sense, the suffering that I went through, like God wasn't unaware. He was there the whole time. He never left me nor forsook me. And I realized in the midst of that that the scripture says this slight momentary affliction is nothing compared to the weight of glory in store for us in heaven.
Amen.
And it's that understanding going, okay, it doesn't make sense. You know, it didn't make sense for Abraham. It didn't make sense. But then on the other end of it, you go, okay, Lord, look what you've done. You know, you received the glory and the honor through all of this. And that's all
exactly.
That happens.
Well, the movie based on the real life story of chart-topping singer Jeremy Camp, I Still Believe. Jeremy, the title of the movie, there just seems like there's a real deep story on something so simple but yet so powerful, I Still Believe. How did that come about?
Yeah, so it had been, you know, a few weeks since my wife went to be with the Lord, and I remember you'll see in the movie too, you'll see the angst and the grief and you know, all those things, anguish. And I was sitting there and God just spoke to my heart and said, pick up your guitar. And I fought it for, you know, I'm kind of like Peter, I have to hear it three times, you know, so, like, pick up your guitar, you know. So finally I took my guitar up, and the last thing I wanted to do was to take my guitar up because I just, it's almost like that was a side of me that I wanted to get rid of for now, because I just wanted to not deal with that. And all of a sudden, I had to open up my heart, and that's what that music does to me. It opens up my heart. And all of a sudden, the only thing I could write and what came to my heart was, I still believe in your faithfulness. I still believe in your truth. Yeah. I still believe in your word. Even when I cannot see, I still believe. And I just wrote that song in like, you know, 15 minutes. I just sat there and wrote the song. And
poured out.
It did. It was because it was the Holy Spirit giving me comfort, and didn't realize how much comfort it would bring me. I didn't have the idea when I wrote it, like, oh, I can't wait for this to be a song on the radio. I can't wait for people to hear it. It was more like, God used this song to heal me, and to see how God has used it. It's been amazing now with the story and everything. So,
well, kind of like in the movie, you have that moment where you're told that, in a sense, you know, songs and music is about blessing others. And our blessing to others is, I believe, in direct relationship to the faith and the pain that we've experienced. I mean, look at Jesus himself. How can he bless, you know, so many but for what he endured on the cross for us?
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what it is. It's, it's, you know, his suffering provided a way for us to have our sins be completely washed clean, and for us to share in the inheritance of being with him and being in his family, and him being our mediator, and the intimacy that we can have with him because of his suffering. So,
well, Jeremy Camp, we're proud of you, and we're blessed by your music and this movie that is going to touch so many. I know God has great plans for this, and I'm excited to see, as you say, having an evangelistic heart, I, like you, am excited to see how many people realize the true love of God because of the pain that you went through. And, you know, God bless you for being vulnerable and sharing this. I mean, not only with Melissa, but, I mean, you know, you've since remarried, and, you know, Andrea as well. I mean, this is a family project that all of you had to experience together, and that you're opening up, you know, to all of us. And I cannot thank you much. God bless.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You've seen